On this Friday, let's take a look now at the weather forecast with Eric Snodgrass. He's with Agribull and Nutrien Ag Solutions. Good afternoon to you, Eric. We have a lot to cover today, so let's get started. First, I want to know about right here, or maybe across the Corn Belt over the next week and a half or so.
Yeah, well, we know that the Corn Belt going into this has got some saturated ground. And even though, you know, when you look back over the last 60 days, there have been some places that have been relatively dry. But on the whole, the entirety of the Mississippi watershed, the Missouri watershed, and the Ohio River watershed are all right now, they have saturated soils with an excess of 2 to 5 inches in some places. Now, what's interesting is a storm system that's coming toward us in the near term. We've got this north-south oriented cold front that's sweeping across the country. And in the overnight hours, it started off with really cold rain over the Red River Valley, which turned over to ice, which turned over to sleet, and is now turned over to snow. And the interesting part about that is this is hammering a place. We just gotten rid of all that snow. But remember, the Red River Valley, when we think about it in terms of watersheds, that river drains north into Lake Winnipeg. So where all the snow is going down and the winter storm warnings are out today, and there's already flood warnings out for the river, that valley, which is very productive, just remember that water is going to go north and not south. But that front sweeps through here and cools us off. And so, unfortunately, in the overnight hours tonight, getting into tomorrow morning and midday, we got some widely scattered showers to deal with, which is going to have me tell everybody, get outside today and enjoy it, because today's going to be beautiful here on Friday, because Saturday just might have a little bit different flavor to it. Now, here's the good news. Once the front passes through and we deal with a little bit of a cooler start to the weekend, we hit the reset button pretty quickly into next week. With the warm-up, though, does come the chance for some widely scattered showers and thunderstorms as we work our way into midweek next week. But the big thing that I'm watching, honestly, is this big cutoff low that's sweeping through California. So California's had some problems with rainfall in the second half of their winter and snow. And now I'm looking at an animation that says from Saturday all the way through next Thursday, at the slow rolling low that just comes through California, giving them over 5 days of precipitation. And then when that one ejects and comes out into the central plains, it could be problematic for the state of Illinois, giving us wet conditions again as we get out here toward the middle part of April. So it's April, right? I mean, it's active. Our temperatures do normally roll up and down like this. And that's what we should expect, I think, in terms of precipitation.
You pointed the way through April. Have you thought about the big picture for this month?
Yeah. So, you know, last week we had the carpet pulled off from underneath us. What I mean by that was we watched all week long the models advertising one thing, and then over the weekend it was almost as though they just pulled a 180, and then they went back over really warm for next week. Well, the following week, which would be mid-April, the models this week have trended back toward a cooler pattern there. Now, there's some good news with that. To get cold in this part of the world this time of year, we got to put a trough over the northeast. Well, us being on the back side of it, that tends to be drier, which means as we work our way toward middle of April, we could have some drier conditions. But coming back to that temperature discussion, with a trough over the northeast, that tends to also put us in some cooler air. Now, how much cooler than normal? I'm not talking about much, maybe up to 5, 6, 7 degrees cooler than average, which is not going to be that bad in April. But remember, our last frost date for winter is usually around April 15th. So we might see this year that gets maybe just pushed forward a little bit. I'm not sure just yet. I'm not yet making a call on when that last frost is going to be. But certainly this is not something you want to see. We want to see really accumulating a lot of heat early, and we want to get the winds up to dry out the soil so we can really crank. But to be honest with you, I don't see it lasting. In other words, we get a brief cool down in the middle of the month of April, and I think we go back over to the pattern we've been seeing, which is warm in the southeast and the cold air really locked away up in the Canadian prairies.
It's said we all have short memories, and when we look back, we think about the planting windows that were non-existent for last year. Have you thought about that for this year?
Yeah, so unlike last year, I think we're going to get those windows, right? And so my main reasoning for that is kind of three things. The first thing is that when we look at the upper level total net momentum of the atmosphere, it's near average right now, even below average. A year ago right now, it was cranked. And the higher its values are, the more frequent the storm systems become. And that's what we saw last May and June. So that's one thing that's different. The second thing that's different is there's this circulation we watch over the top of the equator. It's in its negative phases right now, where a year ago it was strongly positive. And that also affects how frequent storm systems are as they come across the country. So those two things are different. And I think the most substantial difference we need to really have a quick discussion about is what's going on with El Nino La Nina right now.
Well, what about El Nino La Nina?
Yeah, well, that's the big question, because as we've been looking out over the last month or so, we've seen warmer than average conditions spread into the western Pacific, right on the equator. And at that same time, some cooler water has emerged off the coast of both Americas. Now, what that's usually pushed by is a stronger than normal trade wind. Now, if we keep seeing those trade winds, which come from the east and move west, continuing to maintain their above average strength, well, both the atmosphere and the ocean respond by cooling off near the Americas and warming up over near Australia. And that is what we typically see as La Nina. Now, the important part about that is if that continues this spring, well, that's different from last year. Last year, we had El Nino conditions going into spring. So those are three things that are different. Now, the big question is, does that La Nina truly form? Because if it does have a relationship, albeit a weak one, with us having hotter, drier summers. The correlation is about 0.3, okay? The second thing that affects is, right now, the Gulf of Mexico is very, very warm compared to average. So if we have a La Nina and we also slow down the wind speeds over the Gulf of Mexico during hurricane season, we could be increasing the probability of having a higher count of hurricanes. And that's just got us with some longer-term things to be concerned about.
It's early to talk about hurricane season, but I take it you have some information.
Yeah, I mean, so a group yesterday, released their new long-range forecast. It's out of Colorado State University, one of the best groups that does long-range seasonal hurricane forecasting. And right now they have the season sitting at about 160% of normal based on the information I just shared with you about what's going on with La Nina and wind shear. So we've got a lot on our plate to be watching, but I hope the main message that's been taken away is I do see this spring, once we get toward the end of April and then get into May, well, I do see better planning opportunities than we saw a year ago, most certainly, simply because those major factors are different from what we saw. So that's good news overall, and I'm glad I get to share that because we need a little bit of good news right now.
Indeed, we do. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions.